Welcome back to the Martial Arts Show 2.0. I'm your podcast host, Khalid, and my guest today is the wonderful, lovely Oksana Pali, and we talk about her journey into photography, how to be amazing like her, influencing Instagram, social media, a little bit about her Ukrainian culture, taking the best pictures, building a perfect brand, and many more things. Stay tuned.
There she is. Hello. How are you? It's good. Hope you're okay.
Can you hear me? How are you? Yes, I can hear you. Hi, how are you?
That's so good. I'm fine. Everything is good. I appreciate you for the time today, and because I was really looking forward to this podcast. And yeah, we just say we can start. Tell people who you are and a little bit about your background, what you do, and yeah. Just go for it.
Okay. Glad to be here. Thank you for having me. I know it's been a long time coming. We've been talking about it for a while. My name is Oksana Pali. I'm a personal branding photographer and coach. So I teach, mostly I do photography. That's where my background comes from. I studied psychology and photography has been my passion for since I started my business in 2008. That's a long time ago. And I mainly help women with their branding. So I'm a branding and product photographer. I've dabbled into food photography a little bit, but mainly now I focus on helping women create these powerful looking brands. I mostly work with women. And during photo shoots, we have consultations about, you know, what they should wear and kind of what kind of image they want to represent. So that's what I mainly do. I've also created a course for people who can't afford, let's say, to hire a personal branding photographer right now, but they really want to have professional looking photos. They could do that with their cell phone. So I share secrets like that. Actually share it on my Instagram. I have tutorials. I have tutorials on TikTok. So that's basically what I do right now.
Yeah, that's definitely awesome. I mean, taking great pictures and having good photo sessions is probably one of the more important skills these days for a lot of people, especially here on social media. So I think you're helping a lot of people with that.
Yes, it's very important, really. Like, everybody's a brand now. Before, the word branding used to be for just like big companies, right? Everybody was just thought like, okay, branding is just for them. But now, even if you're not an entrepreneur, really, if you are trying to look for a job, if you're trying to apply for colleges, for example, you need to have a brand, right? If they're looking, they're going to look you up on the internet, no matter what you're doing, applying for a job, applying for a college, whatever, they're going to look you up. And what are they going to see when they Google your name? Is it a bunch of like party pictures or is it like well curated with well lit images and professional looking, really? So everybody's a brand now, and it's more important than ever to have that image that people respect, that recognize, and that, you know, speaks to them.
Yes, definitely. And before we go in all these details about everything, how you do it and what you do, how did you get in all of that? Was it always your dream as a kid or as a teenager? You say, okay, I want to be a branding expert. I want to be really good at taking pictures. Or how did that all come together?
Well, I just wanted to be a businesswoman when I was a kid. I didn't know what that business was going to be. I just didn't think you could make money with photography. I never thought I'd be like a professional photographer, but, you know, eventually I learned that you can. And so it's just kind of evolved. So once you feel like follow your passion, right, where you want to be. So it started with photography, which I'm passionate about, still passionate about it, but I'm also passionate about business. And once I started photographing women specifically for branding, you know, it was helping them grow. So that, and because I'm kind of in that business, I talk to a lot of entrepreneurs. I'm very active on social media. It just, I kind of became a branding coach by default. People started asking me questions about it during photo shoots. They would just say, well, how do you do this? And how do you do that? So I was giving advice as it is. And then I was like, well, maybe I should share. Because to me, it seemed common sense, right? So it's like, just sometimes common sense is not always common knowledge. You know, it just seems so you do it every day and it just seems so easy. But some people don't know that. That's not their everyday life. So it just kind of morphed into more of the branding / photography.
So your business was always your thing. You always dreamed about being in business. Probably wanted to be rich.
Yes, I wanted to be a businesswoman, so that's what I wanted to be. Some girls dream about like getting married and all that. I just wanted to be a businesswoman. I
Yeah, I
guess I
mean,
wanted
why
to be
not?
in I wanted to be independent, I think. So it was just
Yeah,
wanted to be that.
that's probably the deep root of it, which is not bad. And I mean, even when you're a businesswoman or businessman, you can still do many different things as well. I think that's one thing a lot of people tend to forget. Like, people always say, okay, if he or she is smart, then they can't be good looking, or the other way around. But why not both, or why not even three or four things at the same time? So, like, it's always, people see things always in black and white and like only two options, but there's always many options. For me, it was always like, yeah, of course you can be an athlete, look great, but you can be still smart and have money, so why not? And not just, good looking and then probably that person is stupid also.
Right. It's just, yeah, I guess it's just that stigma that people have, or, they're just how they grow up, assuming. Yeah, you're
Yes,
right.
that's limiting beliefs, but I think a lot of people have that still to this day, and sometimes it helps to break through that when they have great examples like you or other role models, and then maybe they can just every day improve and try to pursue their dream, their goals, and then yeah, the limiting beliefs one day maybe it will just destroy them.
Right. And that's one of the big things also, like just you mentioned, is just personal development. That's what I always value a lot. I just feel like you can never reach something and then you stop, right? Because I'm always looking, reading books about personal development. I'm watching courses, I'm buying courses. So you could never stop growing. It's
That's true.
like, I feel like if you stop, you don't die, but like kind of something inside of you. So you always have to, and it's inspiring, reading all that stuff. And that's what kind of keeps me going, keeps me motivated, to get to the next
Yes.
step and setting new goals and doing new things.
That's definitely true. I mean, if I just look at people like Sylvester Stallone, he just turned 76 like yesterday, and he's still doing all his movies and writing scripts and everything. I mean, he's still fit, he still has goals, and like people in their 20s or 30s, they just give up, or they don't want to improve, and that's for me the worst. But that's typical for a lot of average people. Once they learned their job and then they stick to that and that's it, they never learn new skills, they always stay the same, have always the same things, and that will be a catastrophe for me if I have a life like that.
Right. It's it, then, well, there's different people, right? I don't have a problem with person that just, let's say they like their job and they just are comfortable with their life and they're just content. There's something about that too. It's like maybe they don't want to, they're happy with the way they are, but there's people that complain about things, right? And they don't
Yes,
like where they
exactly.
are, but yet they won't do anything about the change. They won't read a book. They won't, just they won't go that extra mile to change their situation and invest in themselves, learning a new skill, or learning how to, promote themselves, or this is too hard. But yet they'll complain about their situation. I think that's what's hard for some
Yeah.
people. They complain where they are, and but they yet they don't un maybe they don't know how to get that, to that
Or they're
next
just too
level.
lazy to do the steps, because laziness is also a big thing for many people in the society. They never want to do the work. You give them the plan and everything, but they still don't do it, and then they still complain.
So I don't, yeah, I don't like to use the word lazy because I feel like they're not motivated, right? Maybe they didn't find their passion. It just depends on someone's circumstances where they are in life. They're just not, they don't have that passion or that drive. I mean, I guess you could call it lazy, but I feel like
But
even the lazy,
discipline, like,
right, even the lazy person, if they find something they really want or they're passionate about it, maybe they'll get
they
that
do it. Yeah,
fire,
that's
right?
true. That's true. Yeah, well, finding your passion, sometimes for some people it's not easy. For some people it takes years and years until they find it, and some people have it. But then you might just try different things, a lot of things. That's like Gary Vee always says, especially in the 20s or 30s, just explore a lot of things, try different things out. And then one day you probably will find something that's great. But obviously, I mean, you found your passion pretty quick. I would say so for you. It was always clear in the dream, okay, I have to be a businesswoman, and then the rest will come with the time.
Well, it wasn't so easy. I grew up in a different country. I grew up in Ukraine. So I moved to the United States, and I didn't speak any English, and I was 17. So it was a difficult time. So I had to like kind of learn who I am. It was always like, I wanted to be a businesswoman, but like, what, you know, you need to be more specific than that to be successful, right?
Yeah.
So I did go to college. I thought I was going to be a psychologist. You know, I have my own psychology business. So, but I just found a different passion.
Yeah, but do you feel like it was for you kind of like the American dream when you came here and did everything and achieved so far things you wanted to do? Because coming from a different country to a new country, especially if it's America, is definitely a different level.
Yes, it didn't feel like that in the beginning. It was, you know, when we moved, we lived in a, you know, in a bad area, and it was just, you know, I didn't speak any English. I didn't have any friends. I think people are a little more supportive of people from Ukraine now since what's going on. But when I came, no one knew what it was. So it was a hard time, but you know, like if you stick to it and if you set your goals, whatever they are, however small they are, or my goals back then were, okay, I need to learn English. I guess not a very small goal, but like it was a necessity. Right. And then, you move to the next goal. Okay, I need to go to college. You know, I need to start taking courses. And then you just one step at a time, you know, and then you'll get there. It just as long as you stay on course and just stick to what you love.
Yes, definitely. That's very important. That's key. Because sometimes people ask me when I did my podcast, but I have now over 815 episodes. I started at end of 2019 because I said, you know, in Europe, podcast is not really a thing if you compare it to America. I mean, people know what it is, and especially in Germany also, like people know what it is, but not there's not somebody with a face or a name of it where you can say, okay, this is the face of a podcast, unlike in America, for example, Joe Rogan or a couple of other people. And then I said to myself, you know what, I'm just doing it. And then from January 6th to 2020, since then I did every day an episode. And yeah, with the time you have more and more episodes, more guests, different topics and everything, and the rest will develop. And then sometimes people ask me, why are you doing the podcast like 1 a.m. your time? Sometimes I had a podcast at 1 a.m. I finished, then slept a couple hours, 6 a.m. the next one, like, because it's that passion, it's that drive. When you want something, you just do it and you always find ways to do it.
But you're right. Like sometimes I think people forget that you're not always going to have that drive, or you're staying consistent through the hard times, yes, right? Maybe you're not getting results that not always, maybe not getting the results that you want, but you're sticking with it for a long time. Yes. And it takes a long time to get things off the ground. And, you know, that I have a lot of respect for you just sticking through it. And
I appreciate it.
I'm sure it's not always easy. You know, you have to talk to people. People tell you, like I was, yes, we'll get together. And then people cancel and people reschedule. So it's not
part
so
of
easy.
The business. Yeah. But I know with certain people, like with you, I knew 100% we will definitely do. But then with certain people, I know just they have excuses or they cannot just say, no, I don't want it or whatever. Like, but with you, I knew we'll still make it happen. So it just maybe needs some time. But like, I have a feeling I can read people very well and I have a feeling how people are. And that's why I like, you know, these live streams, which will be later a podcast, because then you can see the emotions and how people are. And then, you know, people cannot really bullshit you because it's just basically almost face to face. So there's no stepping back then.
Right. Video is great. Yeah. No, that's great. Now I'm glad you're staying consistent. That's the most important part. And
I
you're
mean, you
also
have to,
honing your skill. Sorry?
I said, I mean, you have to, especially in the hard days, you have to stay consistent when you're not really motivated, like you said.
That's when you make progress. You know, it's like at the gym when you work out, it's like when at the end that like, you don't want to, and you really have to like, you know, like crush that exercise, break that muscle or whatever, tear that muscle up. It's really that's when the magic happens, when you really don't want to do it. You go in that extra mile when everybody else would have given up, right? And you don't. Yes. You just keep going, and that's what's going to separate you from everybody that's giving up.
100%. I mean, you have to, like, if you have goals, if you want to be number one, if you want to be the best, then you have to do that. And I know maybe I'm sometimes probably too hard or very direct, like people like you Americans would say. I'm very blunt, because when I want something, like, I don't care. I'm very direct. I'm blunt. I just take it. And if people don't like it, then I always tell myself, well, then that's not my problem. They can slam the head against the wall or whatever. Like, but if you want something, you have to do everything you can. Because one thing I really hate, I would be very disappointed if I started something and I have to blame myself and say, okay, well, if you're honest to yourself, you didn't give everything, you didn't do everything, you didn't try everything. If I do that and it's not working or it's not that good, then okay, I can at least say, okay, I did everything to the best capacity I have, and yeah, but it was not for me.
It's a very mature way to look at it, because a lot of people don't start things because they're afraid of failure. They're afraid of failing, and they don't want to do it because they're like, well, I didn't give it 100%, so I didn't succeed because of that, because they don't want to say I failed. But there's nothing wrong with failing. Everybody's failed. Like, every great person that's done something has failed many, many times before they've done something good. So
that's true.
That's you're not afraid of
failure.
I mean,
it's normal. It's part of the process. But then I think also when the thing is for you or not. Like, let's say you start a business where maybe in a year or two, okay, that's not really your thing, but you started and you failed and that's it. But then it's like also the failure in the things you really like and where that's for you, but it maybe just takes time. Like, I'm sure with your business, you also failed a couple times, but you knew that's still your business. You knew that's it. That's what you want to do. And like, that's part of the process. Just keep going and going until one day you hit the mark and you're satisfied.
And sometimes you have to pivot, like you take your pivots and see what's working. Like during COVID, my, business basically disappeared. It was very successful. And I was like, held all these footages of COVID happened. And overnight my business was gone.
Yeah, sure.
So it was a hard time because it's face to face. So I had to really sit down and reconsider, like, oh, okay, like, what do I do now? Like, what if something like that happens again where I can't talk to, work with people face to face? So, and you pivot and then you learn from difficult situations like that. Then that's when I created, that's when I decided to create my course. So I said, okay, like, I guess people can't come to me. Maybe I could create a course and teach people simple ways of how they could take photos of themselves with their cell phones, but look really good. Tell them what to wear, how to use the natural light, how to pose, and just a couple of little tips and tricks. And so something came out of that, like, of that uncomfortable, and you also, kind of taking a little pivot, and then it grows into something else. But it's still the
but
same.
That also kind speaks of... for you.
Sorry, go ahead.
Because, and I said that speaks for you because you adjust and you know, okay, when to pivot, when to do different things, especially in the, in that time in the last 2 years when a lot of businesses went online, you adjusted pretty quick. I mean, it was still perfect because in that time people did a lot of pictures and videos, probably even more than before. So yeah, I think you just did it the right way.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. It's just true. I mean, I saw your tutorials and I saw also the response from the people. It's definitely great. So yeah, it's no surprise that it's successful.
Thank you. Yeah, it was, and someone told me just repurpose it and put things on TikTok, because I was just thought of TikTok being like as a, a whatever thing. And I started putting them on TikTok, and that's where people, I feel like, underestimated. I had tremendous growth there. I mean, like, million views or 100, like, it was just going crazy there. So I would test things on TikTok sometimes before I post them on Instagram to see if it's going to be good. But, sometimes you post something there and it's great, and sometimes you post it on Instagram and it's crickets. So you just, like, different, I don't know. It's, you just got to have to try different medias too, social media, whatever works for you. But you could repurpose
definitely
your content too.
Mm-hmm. So how do you do that sometimes when you see, like, okay, it's not really working on this platform, and then you just switch over, or how do you do that?
So it's weird. Well, I posted, and at first I was posting it on TikTok, and I was just getting, I just leave it there. And sometimes I kind of think, well, maybe this is not right for this platform. Maybe that it's better for that platform. Like, all the posing videos, for example, that I post, like, how to pose, I do, like, or editing a photo on your phone does really well on Instagram. I'm sorry, on TikTok. And it does okay on Instagram. So sometimes I have to think, okay, I guess you have to think, who your audience is. And I think on Instagram, it's easier to know who your audience is than on, because you're talk to people more. It's a little bit more of a social thing, platform, where you get to know who your followers are and, you know, and whoever you're following it. With TikTok, it's really more, I feel like, of how to or entertainment. You know, people just want to see how to do this and they want to see it quick. And on Instagram, it's a little bit more of a relationship thing, right? So you talk to people as kind of like as they're your friend. They want to they want to feel like they know you through Instagram. And TikTok, to me personally, I feel like is more like either entertain me, right, or tell me how to do something, show me like a shortcut or a trick or a tip or whatever. So that's my I've experienced. Like, so I kind of learned to do like what videos work for TikTok and what for Instagram.
Yeah. So you adjust very quick. I can see that that's probably one of your strengths, that you can adjust quick when you see something and turn it around or use it for different things. That's actually definitely a great skill. It means you know how to do business. So like you said in the beginning, being a business lady is definitely for you.
I'm trying. Yeah. Then you try to kind of, instead of doing the two different videos, right, you could still try to do one video, but think of both audiences. Okay. So Instagram, you still want to make it personal, whatever, but you still can make it how to, which will work on TikTok as well.
Yeah. So. That's definitely also very interesting. So for the people out there listening, trying to get some Instagram or TikTok advices, like definitely listen very carefully, because she knows the game, especially on TikTok. And because I also feel like TikTok, sometimes with certain videos, you get views so quick, which you could almost not make happen here on Instagram. So it's like, I don't know what it is on that platform with TikTok, but sometimes like a lot of people tell me they can reach, organic reach pretty quick on TikTok and on Instagram. You can also make it happen, but it's sometimes a bit more difficult. Maybe also Instagram puts some restrictions as well. And I feel like with TikTok, it's at least for now, they make it a little bit easier there.
It's very, very different on Instagram. Yes, I agree. TikTok, it just grows exponentially. You know, from what I understand, they give it, you know, they test it, they give it to a small audience. And if they see how people react to it, the more they save it, it just goes crazy. Like one of my videos hit 1.2 million views on TikTok, you know, within maybe like 2 days or so. And the same video on Instagram, I mean, maybe 5,000 of that. Like, it's the same video, right? Yeah. Different platform. It makes you wonder, am I shadow banned? Am I, you know, just, that's why people wonder it, because it's so successful. And that's why I think also it helps you, like, I didn't beat myself up. If the video didn't do so well on Instagram, I say to myself, but it did so phenomenally well on TikTok. I'm like, well, okay. So it kind of gave me a little bit of more confidence to keep going. I'm like, well, it's either not reaching the people, it's not reaching the right people, but it's like, it is useful for some people, for a lot of people in this platform, the people are responding to it. So it's not you, you know, whoever's listening, and if it's not like getting the views, it's not you. It's just you're not reaching the right audience, or it's not, I mean, it could be you. Maybe you need to like get your lighting better or make it more clear and work on the videos. But you just have to analyze why, like, be honest with yourself. Is it like a good quality video? Is it well lit? Are people, are there captions? People love that. People love captions because sometimes, a lot of the times, they listen to it with the sound off. So all those things come into play.
Yes, definitely a lot of varieties why it is. But also I have to say about Instagram, I realized that even with big people who have millions of followers, and these are their real followers, in the last 2 years, definitely over a year, Instagram puts a lot of restrictions if you talk about certain topics, if you're just a free, you know, open-minded person, talk a lot about all sorts of things, and then their reach is really dragged down. They have 1.5 million people following them, but then before they had always between 500,000 and 1 million views on their videos, and now they just have 100,000 or less. And it's not just because the content suddenly is bad, it's just, you know, Instagram also puts some restrictions, and if you talk about certain topics or certain people, then suddenly you have a lot of views here. So it's kind of sad that they try to navigate that a little bit in this way, but then you just need to shift over to other platforms.
They do censor it. They do censor it a lot, and I've experienced that because I've never talked about controversial, you know, topics before, and because I'm from Ukraine and the war, you know, when the Ukraine got attacked, I've noticed like at first it wasn't censored, and I was getting a lot of views on my stories because I was sharing a lot of because it was personal. My family lives there. My dad was there, so it was very, very personal, and I've shared a lot of it. And I was getting a lot of views. It was I wasn't doing it for the views. I really just poured my heart out, and I said, I'm going to be who I am because it's just people were reaching out to me, friends, everybody, and I just couldn't reply to everybody. So just like I said, I'll put it out there. This is just what I am, and I just want to. But it's part of just who you are, you know. Like I just want to. I just wanted to share, and I had a tremendous response, And I would share a lot about Ukraine and just about my family and other people that I knew and other news. And even though people always tell me, thank you so much for sharing, I'm like getting a lot of news from you because you're first kind of almost like, I'm almost like there because I have family there. So we know we could trust you, what you're saying, that everything's real. Like so on the news, it could get confusing. But over time, I could see like the views were declining. Yes, interest has been lost, but yet, I feel like Instagram has been, and I've talked to other Ukrainian American people, Ukrainians people, it's been censoring a lot of it. Certain hashtags have been censored that like anti-Russia. So it's been difficult in that way. So I know it's, I know they do that because that just drastically, you know, the views would decline and certain things, but I, so it's harder on Instagram now, but it's not impossible. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I mean, you, of course, you can still do it. And if not, other platforms, also like TikTok, or there's also a couple new platforms or apps existing where you can put your content there. It will be reached by 50% of your people at least, and you also get paid for that and everything. So people try different things out. But, I mean, I always see it like this. Like if I really like somebody, for example, like you, or if I like your content, I will actively myself search here and there. If I would see for 2 days, 3 days, nothing from you, then I would just look myself on your account and see if there's something, there's a story, picture, video, whatever. Like, but of course, not everybody does that. But like, if you're really interested in somebody, then you just look actively for that person yourself. At least that's how I do it.
No, I do that too. Sometimes you forget, right? It's also sometimes clean out who you're following. You know, because it just gets too much. I actually have to do that. I have to like clean out. Some people have been popping up. I'm like, oh, I don't really like this content anymore. This is not for me. You know, just kind of, it's just cluttering my feed. Yeah, there's other, what I do like about Instagram is how easy it is to connect with people on a different level, like other, you know, I just feel like it's so easy to create a community that is supportive. And I found from day one, I joined since like in 2011, I think. I've been here for a long time. And there's a good community of people here. And you could create this positive tribe of people that are, you know, sometimes you don't even know they're following you. And when something happens, they're there for you. And you just, wow, I didn't know how great this was. You know, like it just was like a silver lining for me when this war happened, how much support I received, like in my DMs and privately, people were so compassionate about things. And it just helped me through the difficult times. But I've nourished these relationships, you know, for a long time because I was just me. And I think bigger isn't always better. You have, you could grow like a small community of people that could, you know, like, again, like you invest in your energy in them and that will come back to you tenfold.
Yes, 100%. And plus, I think you're a great person. You're a wonderful lady. That's why you get all the responses and people support you because it's just also you.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. And I think that comes also back with the time, but you're definitely right. Instagram is a great platform when it comes to connecting with people. I don't think I would have that success with the podcast or that many episodes with all the great people if it wasn't for Instagram, because it made it really easy for me to connect with the people, reach out to them, and then with the time, once you have your little network of people, then it works itself. You get new guests because you see, okay, a friend of this person is popping up on the live stream as well, and then you just connect. So that was definitely a help. And I think doing that with video was perfect for me because, like I said, when I was watching always Joe Rogan's podcast, that was 100% one of his success recipes because he always did the YouTube channel. He had over 11 million followers there. And then once he transitioned to Spotify, he's the only person with video there because his audience is just so big. So when he had that Spotify deal for 4 years, he gets $100 million for these 4 years. So they said, okay, we need videos. And he's the only person with video on Spotify. So I think you can also have, when you have power,
wow.
You can do certain things. That's for sure. But video is just awesome because people see emotions and it's different. And then I thought, okay, why not just video? I do both, and audio and video as well. But my podcast with the video was really by accident when I had Natalie Byrne on my podcast. She's an actress, actually also from Ukraine, and lives in Hollywood. And people really liked it. And since then, yeah, it was definitely great.
Yeah, it's great. People do want to see the.
A little bit, but
we're back we're back in business.
Okay sorry, yeah, so that's why it's perfect for me with the videos. Like, it's a good help for sure.
Yeah, it's great. I love watching videos because you can see people's emotions. Podcasts, I feel like the only time I listen to podcasts is if I'm in the car or I can't really watch the video. The podcast is for people that drive or maybe jogging.
Yeah.
But otherwise, videos.
That's why I do both, because I don't want to give people basically a chance not to get my podcast. Like, if I exactly like you said, for the people who drive or when they clean or prepare the food, so they can listen to the podcast on Spotify and iTunes. But for the other people who just like to watch more, then they can see the videos here. So, like, nobody can miss it, basically. That was the whole idea why I did them both.
That's great. It's great.
Yeah, I appreciate you. What would you say for the people? Because, like, I know a lot of people have questions in terms of getting your brand out, to improve branding or photography, how to improve that, these skills. What would you say for the people?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that? I just got
Sure. All good. I said, what would you say for the people when they ask you for advice how to improve your branding or photography skills? What would you say?
Branding or photographing? Okay, we'll start with branding, I think. They're connected. I always tell people they're very scared to put themselves out there, right? And that was hard for me. I'm a photographer, so I like... But once I put myself out there, people could connect with you, right? People connect with you on a different level. It doesn't matter what business you're in. I'll just give myself as an example. So I'm the photographer and I was photographing other people. And a lot of them would start following me on Instagram before the photo shoot. I mean, some of them followed me for a year before coming for the photo shoot. But I showed a lot of behind the scenes. I show a lot of things. So by the time people are actually come to the photo shoot, they're so prepared. They feel like they've known me forever. And I feel so comfortable around me. So the photo shoot goes much easier because they're not as, you know, like, who's this person? They're going to be taking, what's going to happen? They've seen the process. So just put yourself out there, show the behind the scenes. So people understand too, like, how much work goes into what you do, because people underestimate what other people, like artists do, or whatever your profession is, right? So they just underestimate how much work goes into it, like the lighting and the Photoshop and all of that stuff, photography in particular. But I mean, even you, like, doing podcasts, I mean, let's say you wanted to, like, show people, well, this is how I set it up. Like, just maybe a day in the life. Like, this is, I need to call people. I need to, you know, deal with cancellations and rescheduling and contacting, you know, 50 people and getting one yes. And so there's just, so put yourself out there in an authentic way and not try to be someone. It's okay to admire people and learn from them, you know, not to copy exactly what they do. Because just try to have your authentic voice come through.
Yes.
So that's number one. That's for branding, right? Just, I think that's the big issue. People not showing up and, you know, because they're scared. I was scared and I would watch the first videos of myself. I would cringe.
Why?
Like,
I mean,
Oh my God.
But you're gorgeous. You look great. So there's no reason for you to be afraid of that.
Thank you. But it was just like I would cringe every time I would hear myself talk. Now I don't care anymore. I'm just, I don't care anymore. But it's a, it took a while. It takes a while because you don't like the way you speak and it's too many and this and that. It's just,
Yeah,
and
of
then you
course.
listen to yourself. But then that's how you get better. You listen to yourself. You listen
Yeah.
to the mistakes that you make. My problem to this day is the I keep saying. So, as far as photography, if people want some tips, it's the number one thing is the lighting, right? You always have to think about the lighting. Don't not take photo the worst time natural let's talk about natural lighting. The worst time of the day is to take a photo is during the day, in the middle of the day, a sunny day. People think, oh, it's so sunny, let's go take a picture.
But actually, it's
No,
too bright.
it's too bright. The sun is right above you. It will create
Yeah.
shadows underneath your eyes. It will like make your texture like show up your texture. It's just the most unflattering light you could ever imagine. If it's cloudy, it's perfect. It's like a beautiful light soft box. It's cloudy, it's fine. You could take it in the middle of the day. So I recommend either early in the morning before the sun goes up high, or like later at night, like at dusk. So, or if you're indoors facing the window, facing a window, again, a harsh light could come through. So have like a sheer curtain in front of it. For women, that's the most flattering, right? For guys, though, it's a little bit different. So you see, you have good
Okay.
lighting. For guys, they want to look, women look want to look flawless, right? You want the light coming from the front. For guys, they
Yeah.
want to look a little more masculine. So for guys, the better lighting is if it's come from the side. You actually have really good lighting right now, and it's coming from the side. So it kind of gives you more of a definition in the face. So that's good for men. Another tip I would give, just keep an eye on your background, right? So make sure it's not too cluttered. Make sure, keep an eye on when you're taking a photo, what's behind you.
Yeah, that's definitely very important. But what would you say, like, somebody is on vacation and they're just in the perfect spot, and obviously it's middle of the day and the sun is just, right away dropping down, and they still want to do the picture. Like, is there a way to make it better, or do they need certain apps also to make it better?
I would say find a shaded area. That would be your best bet. Like find maybe like a shaded area, like maybe a tree or next to a building or something like that. And take just try to get in the shade because there's no way it's really hard to you won't even be able to Photoshop a photo when it's harsh lighting. I mean, put sunglasses on maybe because you will. It's just not flattering. I mean, at photo shoots, if you've ever seen behind the scenes, they would have like it, when they do photo shoots on the beach, they would have a big, it's like a white sheet kind of, it diffuses the light. It's called a diffuser. So they would have it like blocking the sun from the model if it's in the middle of the day. So you just want to avoid that really horrible, harsh light.
Yeah, I mean, lighting is definitely everything. That's why people also, when they go to the gym, they always try to get to that mirror where the light is in the middle, like a very white light, and like people always do the pictures there. Yeah.
Lighting is
But I
everything.
also think that's true. Yeah, but I also think when you look great, you don't need to worry too much. I mean, of course, if the lighting is very bad and even though you look great, it's kind of sad for the picture. But I think also, it's confidence. When you're confident, when you have skills, and when you look great, you look great everywhere. That's at least my approach, how I always see things. Whenever I just think, okay, I don't care what people think, I know I look good, and so that's basically it.
Well, yeah, that helps when you have confidence. But I have to tell you that I work with hundreds of women over my
Yeah, of course, it's
career.
different.
Even the most beautiful women have some kind of insecurities. So everybody's got them. I feel like it's a little easier for men. Society's a little bit more forgiving towards them,
But
but.
for me, it's like this. I don't care. Like, I'm always like this, because think about this. What is the worst that can happen? So somebody approaches you and actually tells you in the face you look bad or whatever. Then I would say immediately, like, what would do you think? Like, or why? Like, seriously? Like, and then people suddenly, when you confront them back, then they're always afraid and get away. So that would be the worst case. But people never say that in your face, so they can always talk behind. And so that's why I don't care. I know where it comes from sometimes with the women, with the insecurity, because if they're gorgeous and perfect looking like you, then it's either something like from the childhood or when they were kids that maybe they felt like they weren't good looking back then or so. So you can address that. But
well, yeah. Also, it's just society, and you don't have like, it's just, yeah. There's so much pressure because you're always looking at these perfect images of everybody else on Instagram, which is not true. Yeah. There's filters. I use filters. I have filters of my own that I created a whole bunch of more natural looking filters, so they're not overly done. So women could just not have to feel like they have to put all the makeup on, but they're natural. Mm-hmm. So you still look like yourself. You're not look like someone else.
Yeah.
But you're looking at that all the time. It's almost like, you start doubting yourself and or compare yourself. It's really hard not to compare for women, and I'm sure for men too. I mean, I'm sure men probably looking at who's, I don't know, a wealthy guy. I don't know, whatever. Compare yourself to, right? It's different. But women, I don't know. It's hard, especially for young girls now. Like growing up, I didn't have Instagram, but I could see the pressure for me, and I'm, a grown woman, but it's for girls, it's much more difficult. So they're trying to compete with everybody else. So they want to take that picture, so they don't want to look bad. They want to get like those, right?
Yeah.
But, what I do is not really so much like as vanity thing. For me, like you said, in photos, that I try to bring out the best in women looking as they are, but confident, in what they're wearing. So to bring out that they are successful, that they're approachable, that they're maybe friendly, depends on their brand. And, you want to look good, you want to look professional. And you can't take a professional photo in the bright sunny light. It just won't look good. There's that.
I mean, I think you definitely bring out the best of the people, that's for sure. Is there a specific photo shooting you do with people, or would you say you can basically shoot everything people want, like from athlete to commercial to normal shooting, like everything?
I don't do family photography or none of that. I mostly I specialize in branding and products. I shoot product photography. And I still do sometimes food photography. That I just finished shooting a book. A client of mine just shot 70 recipes. We finished, so the book's coming out in December. I'm excited to see that. I shot all 70 recipes for that book, so that's exciting. Awesome. And the cover. But most of it, no events. I don't do any of that. So mostly it's just branding photography.
Okay, that's great. So you would be definitely able to do, let's say I have a brand, like a product, I throw it in the air and I kick it away, you definitely catch the kick with a good shot.
Yeah, I would try.
Well, I can tell you, I mean, you have perfect equipment, like professional equipment, you're definitely able to do that. Because once a friend of mine, he just had a $60 Canon camera, it was not even a new one, and he was able to, catch the kicks with the shot. So I think he definitely would be even doing a better job with that. Plus also I make it pretty easy for the people when they're the shootings, because for me I always see it like this: as an athlete I need to know my skills, so I need to, and if necessary need to be able to hold the leg in the air, so it gives you a couple seconds even time to adjust and do that. But of course with the cameras, I mean, they have all these motions, like even if you kick very quick, like they catch like 60-70 pictures, and then of course the kick or the split, whatever, is then in the picture.
Yes, it's all about the camera settings. You have to change your shutter speed in the camera. And it also, I work with lighting. So I have strobe lighting. So it's also flash lighting if you want to freeze motions. So it works in the combination. It's not just the camera again. It's the lighting and the camera. So it's not just the camera. It's a combination of two things.
Yeah, because definitely I feel like one day I need to do shooting with you, because your skills are amazing and definitely help a lot of people with that. So it'll be my perfect place to start when I'm in America. Because since that's also the thing, since the podcast, I have so many people requesting, telling me, oh, you have to come here to us to America, come to my gym, come here and there. It's I have to like cross country, like because the people living in different states and areas in America, it's like definitely have to do like a zigzag move or so.
You got to do a like a road trip through it, through
Yes,
America.
probably. Yes, probably. Like, well, the first places will be anyway, like New York or Los Angeles, because in New York, I have also a good friend of mine living there. He's a personal trainer, and you also live in New York, right?
Yes.
You see, that's perfect.
Yeah,
Yes, that's the
perfect.
first place to start.
We'll do a
That
photo
would be
shoot.
awesome. Yeah. And do you have any projects in the future? Anything you want to do? Maybe upcoming projects, photo sessions, whatever.
Just regular photo sessions. I've taken some time off for the summer, and I'm working more in the. It started as a personal project. I started photographing flowers. I was doing, because sunflower is a flower of Ukraine, so I just kind of was trying to do that, and then I figured out do some artwork for my home that I wanted something very specific in my mind. And then once I started photographing flowers, I really fell in love with the process and just like freezing flowers in motion, because I love flowers and I hate watching them die. So and then I decided to put them online. So now they're for sale for people, and I donate part of proceeds to Ukraine, to my nonprofit that I opened, that I help provide humanitarian aid to people in Ukraine. So it's people could go on my website and purchase these prints. So that's like my new project I'm working on. So again, like
That's awesome.
pivoting a little bit. I'm trying to bring a little bit of something beautiful into your homes, and also like benefiting, you purchase the print, it's going to look beautiful on you all, but you also could be saving a life, some.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you're very good with the shifting. That's for sure. Like, that's probably one of your secret skills. But speaking of secret, you definitely have to tell a few what's your beauty secret, because you look always great. I know you work out. You also go to the gym, so I can see that on your shapes. So my athlete eyes always see that. So that's definitely good.
I don't know, just try to eat healthy. I've been juicing. I do a lot of I've actually gotten into intermittent fasting lately. Have you
That's
tried that?
yeah, it's very beneficial. It helps, especially with inflammation and all that, because these days, sadly anyway, our bodies, we even if we eat healthy food, but if it's not growing from your own garden or farm, yeah, it's not the best things we have in.
I buy everything organic, but even organic stuff just has things in it. So, intermittent fasting has been great. I've been getting a lot more energy from it, and I just, I do it 5 times a day. For those who don't know what it is, you just fa you don't eat from a certain time, let's say from 4 p.m. to like maybe 10 a.m., which is what, like 16 hours, 17, something like that. 16 hours. I try to go for 18 hours of not eating, and then you slowly break your fast with maybe like a smoothie of like celery, spinach. One of the things that I feel like someone told me is to just eat spinach every day, no matter what you do. So I try to put in spinach somewhere with the food. And if you Google spinach, it's got a lot of
Yes,
good
it's good.
nutrients in it. So good nutrition's great. And again, as
And
getting
water a lot,
good
probably.
water, but sleep is a big deal. I
Yes.
feel like people underestimate. People say, oh, I could function so well within 5 hours, and you can be functioning great, but all the research, especially recent research, shows that you need 8 hours of sleep. So if you function
Yes.
good under 5 hours, imagine how much greater you could function if you sleep for 8 hours.
True, yeah.
So good sleep is essential. Good nutrition is essential, and exercise, getting out there. I love doing different exercises. Like, I'm out by on my summer house now, and do a lot of paddle boarding. So you're on the water, you're
Yeah.
getting vitamin D. It's a good exercise.
So how many days a week do you work out? Probably at least 3 days, probably, if not even more.
About 3 to 4.
That's
Yeah.
good.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I try to
that's
do
good.
more, but I'm not as consistent as I should be.
No, but honestly, like 3 days, if somebody is not an athlete or you're not training on a pro level, 3 days is very good, because it's like basically every second day you work out. And then if you do maybe a little bit stretching or some small yoga flows. I know ladies love yoga.
You know what I do? I should say mention that every morning I do my stretch. I do about 15 minutes. Like I have my sister taught me this. It's called the sun salutations in the morning. It's like a yoga routine. Yes. It's really stretching. And then I do my mantra in the morning, kind of setting my intentions for the day. So that's helpful for mental state.
That's awesome. Well, that's perfect. I'm proud of you that you do all the time the stretching. That's great. I know a lot of people neglect that, but it helps a lot. I even see that with me, like if just 2-3 days, if I don't stretch that perfect, and when you outside, let's say the whole day you're walking outside, and then you feel just immediately a little bit tight. As soon as you crack everything up and stretch and make yourself loose, then you feel better. And it's like, sometimes I can't understand. I can only imagine how all the people feel when they don't work out, when they don't stretch. That's why they have all these pains and aching, and their body feels like shit because they never work out. It's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, I also think people underestimate stretching because sometimes you could just stretch. You don't even need to work out. You just stretch.
You're good.
And like sometimes I'm just too tired and I just want to, like I just stretch. And just stretching, just, I don't know, it does miracles. Yeah, stretching, yes, stretching is a big deal. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. That helps a lot. Would you say, like, for you, your cultural background also made a big impact or influence on your career in America or just in general your lifestyle here?
Your
cultural background, did that also make an impact on your life here in America or just on your career and your life in general in America?
Yeah, I grew up in Ukraine, so I grew up on all organic stuff.
That's so perfect, yeah.
I didn't eat anything. I mean, we didn't have it available. Like, you always ate fruits that were in season, that were grown, like, locally. Nothing was brought in. I'm sure things are different now, but it's everything was organic. I never drank soda. I mean, once in a while, like, randomly. Yeah. So that was kind of how I always lived. Although when I moved to America, I was like, ooh, I was like, it was free for all. It was like, oh, look at all these like donuts. And I love donuts. And so that was my weekend. I just blew up for a little bit. And I was like, wait, what am I doing? This is not good. This is not healthy. This isn't good. So just kind of go back to your roots and just thinking, okay, this is how I used to eat. Like just try to eat as natural as possible, as clean, you know, just getting all the vegetables. Yeah. So I think it's easier for me because I grew up from that environment, in that environment. But growing up here, it's hard. I see it from my kids. Like, it's just, there's so many temptations. There's so many parties.
You need to be very hard on them.
What?
You need to be very hard and disciplined with them. So they have to eat healthy and exercise. If not, they get a punishment or so.
I'm hard on them. They'll tell you that, and I try to explain it to them. I'm not trying to be mean, but if you eat healthy most of the time, you could have snacks. You could have things like that. It's not that I don't want you to have candy, but they're surrounded by so much unhealthy things. You know, they go to parties all the time, and there's just junk everywhere.
Yeah, that's crazy. And I can imagine for you guys in America, it's even worse because for me here in Europe, it's already a catastrophe what they have. And I mean, Europe, especially Germany, France, Belgium, Switzerland, they're very good. You probably know that they're very good with the chocolate and bakery stuff. So like they're the best in the world when it comes to that. So that's crazy. But I also know that the difference when you grow up with organic food, like because my family is from Morocco and they had the same like you, perfect organic food and everything is great. I still see there, I have an uncle living and there with his wife, and he's 68. He has no rings, no nothing, like full hair, perfect eyesight, everything. Like that comes from eating organic foods all the time, living close to the sea, and having no stress. Like, and as soon as you come to Europe, like 5 years, 10 years later, like you're completely changed.
You're gray. You're fat. Yeah. No, it's and the portions too here, like ridiculous. Like,
oh my god, you have a lot of XXL. That's the thing we don't have. You have a lot of XXL, triple, quadruple packages. We don't have that, at least here. And I know your Coke probably is even much sweeter than here in Germany because I think every country can decide how much sugar they put in the cola and everything. But yeah, that's crazy.
Have you seen that sugar movie?
Yes.
So the Australian guy came to America and everything was just everything, sugars and everything. And it's really hard to eat a good lifestyle if you don't know where you have a healthy lifestyle if you don't know. You really, and I feel like that's a big thing with me. Like, I feel like that should be part of education system, which is not. 100%. It's schools. Like, I'm involved in the schools, like PTA, like as parents involved. And and their curriculum doesn't get anything. I feel like it should be taught to kids. We're teaching them everything else, but not, but the most important thing that's going to help them. Yes. Like, and just, we need to teach them how to handle their finances. And we just need to teach them how to eat
good. I think they do it on purpose. I think these, specifically these two topics, I think also they do it on purpose. They don't teach you that. So like, there's a reason, because then you fit perfect in the system. So you have to find out everything by yourself. And like, it's with food, with the how to handle money and everything. But yeah, then you just need to do it yourself. I mean, your kids have a great example. You're a perfect role model for them, so you can teach them these things.
They don't think that yet. They don't think that yet.
Introduce your kids to me. I'll convince them.
I'm the bad guy that doesn't let them eat all the candy they want.
Well, they will be later. They will be thankful. I also was raised pretty strict and hard by my parents, I would say, and I remember many times, like, different parents as well, they always told my parents, why are you so hard on them, why are you so strict? But now, in hindsight, if I look back, it's perfect, because they gave me that discipline, especially with the sport, with my martial arts, because I also never had a chance to drop out of martial arts, because my martial arts trainer is Moroccan. So when I didn't go to the gym, from time to time, my father would always, you know, ask my coach if he was there, so there was for me no chance. And if I wasn't there, then foreign people can imagine what happens.
You could be in big trouble.
Yeah, and it's not like in America and Europe, okay, 3 weeks no TV. It's a different kind of different punishment that we have.
Well, no TV for them is the worst punishment now. Like, take your phone away. It's like the worst thing you could ever do to them.
Yeah, I think these days definitely that's so true. Yeah, I think we definitely covered a lot of things. Is there anything else you want to say, maybe some last advices or something you want to promote or so?
If you're looking for photography tips or branding tips, come on over to my Instagram. Everybody's welcome. And you could ask me, DM me with any questions. I'm always creating new content. So if there's anything you want to know, I'm always listening to people, and, you know, just shoot me a DM and ask me what you want me to cover, and I'll be gladly share whatever my knowledge is.
Yes, definitely. I will put everything in the description when I put it on Spotify and iTunes, so all the links, website and everything, so you can check it out there. And yeah, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate you, and I hope we can do many more podcasts in the future. And definitely when I'm in New York, we need to do photo shooting.
I would love that. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay. Very welcome, and have a great day, everybody, and see you soon. Bye.
Bye.
That's it from the Martial Arts Show 2.0. I'm your podcast host, Khalid, and my guest today was the wonderful, lovely Oksana Pali, and we talked about her journey into her brand, being a businesswoman, her dreams, what she always wanted to do, being a great photographer, how to do perfect pictures, some tips and advices from her cultural background, growing up in Ukraine and living in America, and many more things. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to follow her on Instagram. Check out her account. I'll put everything about her in the description. If you want to know more about the podcast on Spotify, iTunes, and all available platforms, just type in the Martial Arts Show 2.0. You'll find me there. Thank you for the support. Until next time. Bye, everybody.